Welcome to this Mixed Sunday Morning Podcast. Listen to the full 3-hour morning show Sundays starting at 8 on Mix 106.5.
Good morning. It is Sunday, May the 10th, 2026. I'm Shaw Gage on Sunday morning. Thank you so much for listening to the show this morning. Looking forward, got my good friend Noah Davis in. Noah, how you doing this morning?
Good. How are you?
Oh, man, better than I deserve on a Sunday morning. Noah and I have known each other for a couple years now. He's a customer of mine, but he's also become a really good friend of mine as well, and my family and his beautiful family, Neely, his wife, and their little man, Coulter. Hell, Coulter just turned his first birthday, didn't he?
First birthday in 13 months today.
Wow, look at that, man. Time goes, man. Now look, my youngest one's 22, so enjoy it because, man, it goes fast. It goes fast. But Noah is just a good friend, good guy, and I've been getting to know him over the last couple years. And, you know, we've been talking here lately the last few weeks. There's a local company, Domtar, that's announced it's shutting its doors. And just, I've been looking for a way to help. And look, how can I help through this voice that I have every Sunday morning and also on the podcast? But who knows? And so Noah and I were brainstorming the other day, and I just said, man, why don't you come on down and let's just record and let's just see what God does. And maybe somebody out there will hear our voice and hear your story and go, man, that's the guy I need on my team. Or, man, just maybe somebody's going to be inspired what the Lord's done in your life. And either way, we're just going to hang out today, talk about life and fellowship and, man, just trusting in the Lord. And, man, thank you for coming in. I'm looking forward to this.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Oh, man, my honor, my honor. Well, hey, we're going to take a break real quick, and we're going to come back here in just a few minutes and be hanging out with Mr. Noah Davis on Sunday morning. Shaw Gage back with you on Sunday morning, hanging out with our good friend, Mr. Noah Davis. Noah, thanks again for coming in this morning. Hope it wasn't too much of an inconvenience.
No, not at all. I appreciate the invite and you letting me come on the show. So,
oh man, that's awesome, man. We're so glad to have you. Listen, I've been trying to get Noah in here for a while, and he's just a great guy, and we've known each other, a couple of years now, a little more than two, I guess.
A little over 2 years.
Started doing business with him at the plant over here in Childersburg at Domtar, and just met Noah, and it's just, you know, it's funny, when you just connect with people, it just, you connect. And Noah, there's a little bit of an age difference here, but man, it's just fun to be around a guy that just has the joy of the Lord in his heart, and I saw that instantly with Noah, and it was just fun to meet you. And then as we started getting to know each other, I guess, man, just invited you guys to come to church with us. And then I met your beautiful wife, Neely. And then little man Coulter was born a few months later. And man, that's true, because you said in the last segment, he's 13 months old today.
Yep.
And you guys were probably 6-7 months pregnant, maybe something like that when we first met.
It might have been before that. It might have been...
Well,
three or 4 months into it.
Probably so, because, yeah, if my math was wrong, I guess, yeah. So it would be like more, yeah. So anyway, Noah's just a great guy, and I see him every week out at the plant. And, you know, we were just talking. And like I said in the intro back just a few minutes ago, that, you know, there's been a pretty heavy hit down here in Childersburg, Alabama. There's a big pulp mill, Domtar is the name of it, and they announced a couple of months ago that they were closing their doors. And y'all, 285 dinner tables have been affected. And I just was praying about it and thinking about it, and I go, man, I've got a voice. Like, what can we do? And I've been sharing with people, like, I love the movie Tommy Boy, Chris Farley. That movie came out right when I got into sales. And if you've never seen that movie, go watch it. It's just funny, but there's a lot of good stuff in it. And he had a moment in that movie where he sold 500,000 brake pads to save the plant. And I've been going, how can I sell 500,000 brake pads to save Domtar? And it's, y'all do brake pads, but where's that moment? How can we do it? And I haven't been able to come up with anything. And I did, the Lord laid on my heart. He said, just start having people like Noah on and just tell your story and just people to get to know you. And just, you know, each and every week I'm on the show and I share, man, we're all trying to figure out this thing called life. Nobody's got it figured out, even at 52, even my dad at 82 almost. Nobody knows all the answers. But what I do know is when we come alongside each other and go, hey, let me help pick you up, or I need you to help pick me up, or whatever it may be. When we come alongside each other and we pick each other up, yeah, that's what it's really all about. And so, no, I wanted to bring you in and just go, hey, let's talk about, you know, life and what's going on. But first off, tell everybody kind of your perspective on how we met, you know, a couple years ago. What were you thinking when this old goofy sales guy walked into your world?
Well, at first, you know, I was like, well, you know, just another vendor coming in. You know, don't really get to talk to him much, the vendors that often. But as soon as I saw you come in, and I think the first couple of times we didn't really talk much, but we kind of got familiar with each other. And I think maybe the third or fourth time, me and you just started talking about the Lord, and we connected on that, and it went from there.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Sure did.
Yeah.
Well, and it's rare that you get to do that in business anymore, but it's fun when you do and you get to connect with somebody. And, you know, you guys were going to a church and, you know, it was kind of like there weren't a lot of young people as best I recall. And I said, man, why don't you come up here to CCW up in Chelsea, the church at Chelsea and Westover, shameless plug there. But you guys started coming up there and got plugged in and just jumped right in. And it was so cool to have a young family there and get excited about not only the Lord, but also on being a part of Sunday mornings. But what did you guys think, you know, when y'all came up to the church, you know, in Chelsea, and what were you guys thinking?
Well, I grew up in Chelsea. I started seeing it when they first started building that church. That's going to be a pretty big church, you know. Then we, you know, you invited us and we came and we walked in the sanctuary there, and I was like, this is it's a good church. Like, everybody is just, it's a family. Mm. That's what it feels like. Everybody just congregates together, talks, and it's not like you just go to church. Mm. You go there, and you have a family with God there.
Yeah.
You know, everybody there is brothers and sisters there, and we loved it.
Yeah.
From the first second we walked in, and they started singing to the Pastor Rick, we loved it. So.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I remember when y'all came, because you're always a little like, I hope they liked it. Man, y'all were like, dude, that was awesome. And then you came back, and then you came back. And so it's just, you know, it is. And I appreciate you saying that, because that church, that's what drew us in. You know, we kind of came back, and, you know, when COVID hit, we got out of going to church on a regular basis, and our boys were in private school, so they were getting chapel. And then my youngest one, Sumner, who you know, graduated high school, and we're like, we're all the kids are out, and we can sleep in on Sunday mornings every now and then. And Janet was like, no, we're going to church. And that's when we found CCW. That same thing drew us in. It was like, man, it's people, it's local people just doing life together, right? And it's not some country club. It's not some just be there to be seen kind of thing. It's just people wanting to get better and rally around people that are hurting a little bit. So really cool that you guys saw the same thing there too. And you know, I think it's important. We were talking about that earlier. It's just, you know, the getting together and the worshiping together is so important, especially for young families. And I know you guys want to raise your little man Coulter in the church, right?
Oh, yeah.
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 Well, I think it's important, right? It's important for us to be in church with our wives, but also to lead our kids. And, you know, I was reading something the other day that there's a huge coming back to church by this generation. What do y'all call it? Are you Z or are you a millennial, or do you know?
I have no idea.
There's
too many.
Right, I know. I got turned around reading. I was like, I thought Gen X was, no, I'm Gen X, I think. But then there's Gen Z, and then there's the millennials, and it was all confusing. But regardless, young people were coming back to the church in droves. And not just here, but like this was in New York City. And I was like, man, God is moving. And from your perspective, do you see that? Do you have a lot of people your age that talk about the Lord or their faith, or what do you see in that?
Yeah, I'm seeing it a lot more. I know a couple years ago, you know, like 4 or 5 years ago, I feel like a lot of people my age weren't, and a lot of people were going away from it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I don't know, it's like a script got flipped.
Yep.
And now they're going, I mean, I know a couple people that are going to Highlands College and they're 26, 27, 28 years old and just starting to do that.
Yeah.
And I think it's awesome. I think anybody and everybody should be going.
Oh, yeah. And, yeah.
You know, even if you don't go, if you have a group of 5 friends and y'all just do a little small group or something, you know, one day a week, I love it.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's important. It's critical. We got to build each other up. I actually had an opportunity earlier this week to speak to a former student of mine. He has I taught in Tennessee, And then I moved back to Alabama, and this young man, he went to Samford in Birmingham, and then he ended up getting the job in Birmingham. Now he's gotten married, and they're staying in Birmingham. But he's working for an old friend of mine in Birmingham, and they asked me to come up and speak to their Thursday Bible study. And I said, well, how often do y'all do this? And he said, every week. And so Thursday of this week, I got to go in there and speak to those guys, and it was just a great experience. And I was the oldest guy in there, yeah, pretty much by far. And but man, everything that we talked about, these guys were like, this is what we need. And so I think there's a hunger. I think there's a revival happening in this country, and I think it's y'all's generation. Because how old are you, Noah?
26.
26. I think it's that age. Because you're about the age, you would have been in one of my classes, because that's the age group. All my former students are kind of your age now and still stay in touch with a lot of them. But it's just like I told them when I was teaching and coaching up there, I said, man, y'all's generation is going to be the one where revival happens. So my generation kind of got lazy, kind of just whatever. I mean, I don't know what happened to us. The millennials, I guess, would be next. And I think they saw a lot of hypocrisy in the church. But I think COVID wrecked a lot of that and just gave people an excuse to not go to church. And but I also think a lot of people saw some dark stuff and all that. And they went, man, there's something bigger than me going on out there. And I got to get to be a part of it, which led to, hey, where do I go and what do I do? And what's church all about?
Right.
And then here recently, I think the Charlie Kirk assassination, I think that, I'm not getting political, but I think that really got a lot of people fired up of like, hey, you know, like, come on, we got to, like, right. We got to put some guardrails on this thing. Like, we can't just go around killing people just because they have different beliefs.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Like, I think a lot, like you said, the Charlie Kirk, I think that's what made a lot more college students start going to church,
mm-hmm.
going to church on campus, or when they go back home on the weekend, or whatever they do, I think they're starting to get back in the church and tell all their friends about it and trying to get all them to go as well.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, I hate that it happened, but I think good things can come out of tragedies. And we're going to talk about that here coming up on the other side. But again, Noah, so thankful you're here. We're going to take a break here. We're going to come back on the other side and hang out and talk more with Mr. Noah Davis on Sunday morning. Back in here on Sunday morning. Noah, it's a pleasure hanging out with you. And, you know, we're just talking, you know, been getting to know each other over the last couple of years. And just wanted to ask this and just go, hey, you know, like, tell me about growing up and, like, when, like, how did you get plugged into church? And, like, what was that like for you growing up?
So I grew up in Columbiana. My grandparents were really religious. My granddad was a pastor. So I grew up every week going to their house, and he was doing his sermon for the week or watching the Gaithers on the television, mm-hmm. you know, old school.
Oh, yeah.
So he was a pastor at a church in Columbiana, and we went there every Sunday, every Wednesday.
That's how it happened,
that's
right?
That's how it happened.
Well, that's interesting because, you know, there must be something about churches in Columbiana because when my grandmother passed away, this would have been in 1990-something, mid-90s, 95 is terrible. I can't remember, 95, 96, something like that. I think it was 96. I really kind of started asking those life questions, like, what's it all about? And I started going to church with my grandfather at the First Baptist Church of Columbiana. And that place had a huge mark on my life. And it sounds like a similar church over there in Columbiana had something with you, too.
Oh, yeah. It's hold on.
No, no. So Rodney, I guess we're talking about your grandfather, Rodney?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Okay, so I've met Rodney, too, and a super good guy, and he's leading the church over there. And what was that like to be sitting front row or in the pews, you know, listening to knowing that was your grandfather, but also knowing you were hearing the word of God come from this man?
Yeah, I mean, being a little kid, you don't really understand. You know, you're just, oh, what are they talking about? Or, you know, you don't really realize it until you start getting older.
Right.
You know, I didn't really think anything. I was just, it felt like I was at home listening to my granddad talk.
Right.
It was literally like I was just sitting on the couch and he was sitting in his chair and just talking. That's how it felt, really.
Oh, yeah. Well, so what was that? When was the first time you heard that? Whether it was from your grandfather or from the Gaithers on TV, and I remember those people too. Matter of fact, we used to go to church where who was the real tall guy with the long gray hair, Penrod, Guy Penrod. He went to First Baptist Church of Columbia, Tennessee, where I used to go to church. Man, that guy, he and his wife, great family. I didn't know him well, but they have like 10, 12 kids, and they would all get out of this Ford Excursion, and they just kept coming to me. They were all like 10 feet tall, not really, like, they were really tall people, but just, sorry, I get distracted. You know? We didn't have ADD when I was growing up, but I totally got it, and that proves it right there. But nonetheless, what was that moment when you first heard that genuine tug at Noah's heart? Like, Jesus is calling me. What was that? Do you remember that moment?
I mean, you know, just about at the end of every sermon, you know, you ask to come to the altar and pray. And it was really when my little sister was born.
Okay.
You know, a little about my backstory. My dad, he wasn't the best of person in the world. You know, everybody makes mistakes and everything like that. So he was kind of, when she was born is when it started getting bad. Started battling with alcohol real bad and other various things. It got tough for a long time.
Sure.
So it's when that stuff started happening when I was a kid that it really started getting to me. And then as I grew up, I'll be the first to admit it, I questioned God. And,
sure.
And I questioned church and I questioned reading the Bible. But he passed away when I was 22 years old.
Okay.
It was when I first started working out at the mill. And I met Neely Scott. And something just clicked in my head. Like I don't know if it was a dream or I was just sitting there in my bed, but something came over me. It was like, your dad was a lesson for what to be and what not to be.
Oh, wow.
And it was like, you can either walk in my steps or keep going down the path you're going down right now. And that's when I try to flip the switch and start getting more involved. Hate to say it was only 4 years ago when I got back into it, but it was that moment after he passed away that I really wanted to get down and start going back to church and reading the Bible and talking to people about my story.
So, yeah. Yeah. Well, and sometimes it takes that, and I'm sorry for that loss, and I know that's hard, and I appreciate you sharing that with us. But sometimes that's the catalyst, right? And that's kind of cool. I mean, how I feel like the Holy Spirit probably came over you and said, you can go down that path or you can go down my path. And you said, I'm going to go down God's path, right? And right. I man, I can see that in you. And I know we've only known each other a couple of years, but if y'all could see Noah the way he just treats his wife and his son Coulter, just how genuine it is, and you just have, man, you're a great dad, you're a great husband, and man, I just admire that about you. And I know I'm double your age, I guess, but it's like, you're just a good dude, and we're kindred spirits. And man, I just, when you see a good dude, you know a good dude when you see one, and you've really done that, and I'm so thankful that the Lord called you during all that, because it's, you know, when we're going through the darkness, it's not always easy to see the light. And sometimes it's easier just to go, well, I don't want to see the light, right? I want to be mad. I want to be angry. Did you hold on to some of that? Or was that just kind of that same moment where you said, you know what, I'm going to be me and I'm going to do what God wants me to do?
Well, you know, the way I kind of saw it is when I saw the light, I could have chose to be blind to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I could have just went and kept doing the same things I was doing, going out every weekend or whatever it may be I was doing. It honestly, it wasn't really that hard to get back.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, like I said, something just came over me, and that's what I wanted to do. Like, it was like this is your option.
Yeah.
You can either take me and follow me, or you can, then I'll be lost. You're lost.
Yeah.
You know,
it was a lifeline, right? It was right. That you know, like somebody drifting out at sea, you go overboard, you know, they throw the, not the inner tube, what's the thing? I mean, the life preserver, you know, yeah. And that was your life preserver moment, right? That's cool. Yeah. That's cool. Well, you know, I know you mentioned just a second ago that you said that was only 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. But man, that there's a lot of people out there listening, a lot of people that it still hasn't had that moment. And I'll share this with you. My grandfather, who was a very big influence in my life spiritually, he turned his life around when he was 56 years old. That's 4 years older than I am right now. And sometimes I think, you know, God can't, I have people go, God can't use me at my, yeah, he can, because when my grandfather turned his life over to the Lord and he quit drinking and he quit smoking, man, dominoes started falling down through the family and my mom and my two uncles and then all of my cousins, my siblings, everybody has been in ministry at some point, way, shape, or form. And it was, I believe, because Pappy, who we referred to affectionately as my grandfather, he and my grandma, they turned their life over to the Lord. And man, it was just like, boom, dominoes, just kept going down through the generations and on even to the next generation. So I'm glad you did that. And it's going to be fun to watch how you, the dad of this generation and you treat your family and your son and kids to be like, man, it's going to be fun to watch you grow and to see that defining moment, how it impacts so many people in your family. So I'm thankful for that.
You know, going off. Like you said, it's never too late to turn it around. Mm. He's always going to be there. He watches all of us. He watches our every move. It's never too late for anybody to turn around and just, you know, take a knee and say, help me, Lord. Mm. Help me get through this and help me turn to you. You can always do that.
He's always going to answer that call, isn't he?
Yep.
Sure is. Well, hey, we're going to stop, take a break, get a sip of water or coffee here for just a few minutes, and we're going to come back on the other side and hang out more with Mr. Noah Davis. Shaw Gage back with you. Thanks for hanging out with us this morning. Noah Davis in-house with us. Read this scripture earlier, Noah, and I wanted to just give you this encouragement, but it's Psalms 33:4. It says, "For the word of the Lord is right and true. He is faithful in all He does." And man, I just, you know, I've been through a lot in life and I know, you know, there's a lot, you know, we can go through times of life where there's uncertainty and you get this left hook out of nowhere that you didn't see coming. But I want to encourage you and let you know that God is faithful in all that He does. It promises right here in Psalm 33, verse 4. And I just want to kind of, man, I appreciate A, you coming in and hanging out with us, but being real, man, you are in the middle of a journey. There's a mountain in front of you guys right now. I know it looks huge, but man, God has got, like, He can move mountains. I know that. And that's where I think it's so cool that you're willing to come on and talk about the mountain you guys are facing right now. But 2 months ago-ish, you guys, you're rolling along. Life is good, raising a family, about to have your son's first birthday. And then out of left field, man, here comes this left hook from Domtar. And they said, what?
Well, they really didn't say anything. That's what was so, I guess, blind. We got blindsided, really. Mm-hmm. I mean, we were running the best we've run in 2 years. And it really just came out of nowhere. They had a meeting with salary positions. And we were all just out working, you know, doing our jobs out in the mill. And you know, they got done with that meeting and said, hey, we're closing down. And I mean, I learned through pipe fitters and millwrights. I didn't even learn from my boss or my boss's boss or anything.
So, really?
You know, I just got told out of nowhere.
Hey, we're shutting the plant.
Yeah.
Wow.
And, you know, at first I didn't believe. I was like, no, you're just messing with me. You know, they're like, no, I'm serious. Like, we got 2 months. We're done.
Wow.
And right before we got the news, we had put our house on the market, you know.
Of course.
But that was before we even knew it was closing down. And it sold in like 4 days.
Wow.
And so we had already picked out a house and everything like that. I was just waiting for me and my wife were waiting for that money to get back in our account, because the bank had to hold it, of course, you know, go through the whole process. That money was supposed to be in my account Monday, the Monday before we got told.
Right.
And, you know, I'm going into work Monday. I'm like, this money ain't here. We're supposed to put the down payment. You know, I was pretty fired up about it. You know, I was like, we're supposed to do this today. Get home, and I was like, okay, if the money's not in tomorrow, I'm just going to go to the bank. We'll figure it out. So on the way to work Tuesday morning, I check. The money's there. And then at 10 a.m., I got told we're shutting down for good.
No way.
And
literally the same day?
Same day.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I called before I got off work, called the place. I was like, hey, I'm not going to put the down payment down. I just got this news.
Sure.
So God had my back there, because if it was in my account when it was supposed to be, we would have got wrapped up in something else.
You would have probably signed papers or committed to,
Right.
Wow.
Yeah.
So again, you're frustrated because it's not having no money, but God's going, hang tight. Yep. I'm doing this for a reason, right? Wow, that's special. That's pretty cool.
I got to thinking about it the night we got told, and I was like, you know, that's just God having a hand on my back.
Mm-hmm.
That's, you know, mortgages they're high now.
Oh, yeah.
You know, getting in a big mortgage for 25 plus years and then losing a job on top of it, that's just, you know.
Yeah.
So God definitely had a hand on my back when we got told. So
He was being faithful, right?
Right.
Like this verse says, God is faithful. And it's not always what we think. It's not always glamorous. It's not always pleasant. I'll say it that way. But like when you look back, and you're going to look back in 5, 10, 30 years, whatever it may be, and you're going to go, man, that was horrible going through it, but it was one of the best things that ever happened to me. Right. I know that. I'm just going to tell you. I mean, I just know how life works, and it's just – again, I lost my job, you know this, back years ago, and I remember going, how could it get any worse? And now here I sit 16 plus years later going, man, how could it get any better? You know, I never would have dreamed. So, so what was that like, that conversation when you're going home? And I'm not trying to be invasive or any of that, but I've been there. And like, what was that like, you know, going home and talking to Neely and being like, hey, we got to talk, you know, like, I mean, was she aware? Did she hear the news from James Spann like everybody else? I mean, how does James Spann, by the way, break the news about Dom Dark Rose?
Right. So we have a lot of shift guys out there. So a lot of them didn't know. A lot of the guys on shift they found out through James Spann.
Right.
They didn't even find out from work or anything like that. You know, at first I had planned not to tell any of, you know, like my mom, my wife's parents, and, you know, stuff like that. I was just going to ride it out, look for a new job quietly, you know. But an hour after I got told, I started, phone calls left and right. Everybody's calling me, you okay? You okay? And I'm like, well, actually, I just kind of, when I got home, I broke down to Neely.
Yeah.
You know? And she's like, no, it's okay. You'll find something. I said, I know I'll find something because we built our life out here. You know, we had a good life out here. You know, I met you out here. We bought our first house together out here. We had culture while I was out here. Mm. I mean, we were, a lot of things in our life have happened because of this place. And it's kind of, just, it hurts.
Oh, yeah.
A little bit. You know, it hurts, especially with management not coming to hourly guys that are, you know, we work 12-hour shifts, 16-hour shifts, or...
Yeah, y'all are the lifeline of the plant, right? You're the ones that keep it going.
A lot of time away from our families, and they didn't even tell us.
Wow.
You know, that's what's kind of upsetting about it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I get that totally. Like I said, I've been there, and it's, you know, it hurts your feelings, it hurts your pride. It hurts your bank account, it hurts a lot of things. But my encouragement to you is, man, when we focus, and this is anybody that can hear what we're talking about, if you've ever been through this, I mean, it doesn't have to just be a job, it can be health, it can be, you know, marital issue, it can be a lot of different things. But when we focus on the details and not the who, that's when we get into trouble. We start worrying about not the details, but we start focusing on the circumstances, right?
Mm-hmm.
that's when I started getting into trouble. And I started going, well, so-and-so would have done this, or if management had done that, or if this could have happened different, or, you know, yeah, all that's true, but I tend not to dwell on that. I mean, it's easy to, but I think as believers, as having faith in Christ, man, we got to focus on him in these times. Not only in these times, but the good times too. But when we focus on the who, which is Jesus Christ, and I was sharing with somebody earlier this week and going, yeah, I mean, fleshly wants to go, man, they hosed us, and and you get all worked up. But those, obviously, they don't care, right? And if anybody from Domtar can hear my voice that has the courage to come on and be on this show, we'd love to hear the other side. But the fact that they didn't come and talk to you guys and share that with you, that stinks. But that's a circumstance, right? And there's nothing you can do about that, and there's nothing I can do about. All you can control, Noah, is your reaction. Right. And when we focus on Jesus and go, all right, God, what are you trying to teach me through this? And it took me a long time to figure that out. But when I go through a trial, yes, the first reaction probably is, oh, man, it hurts, because it does. But then when you kind of stop and you kind of it's like getting punched in the nose when your eyes kind of clear up and they're not watering anymore. You know, you kind of get that clarity back. And you go, okay, God, all right, now. All right, I'm through that. Now, God, what are you trying to teach me?
Right.
And man, when I focus on stuff like that, man, he rock and rolls, and everything just gets out of the way. And he just has this plan that he has blessed me in life during those situations. When I've relied on him and go, God, I'm trusting you. I don't know what you're doing, and I don't know where we're going, but I'm going to trust you because you're God and you've got it all worked out. Just tell me where am I supposed to go, and who am I supposed to impact, and what am I supposed to learn out of this? And I think when we take it on like that, man, it's good for us spiritually, mentally, physically, all that, because it takes that weight off a little bit. You know, you still got, man, I'm the breadwinner, I'm the head of the household and all that good stuff. But man, when you make God the head of your household, and your wife sees that, and your son sees that, and your friends see that, and your vendors that are sitting across the studio see that, it's inspiring. And again, that's what we try to do each and every week on the show. And that's why I thought it was so cool that you were willing to come on. Because, man, y'all, here's Noah Davis. And, man, this guy's in the middle of a trial. He's got a mountain in front of him, but he's got courage and he's got faith in Jesus Christ. And that's what I got fired up just talking about this with him last week. And I was like, man, let's do this. And let's see. Let's be the voice of Domtar. Let's come on here and go, God, what are you trying to teach all of us through this? Again, 285 employees lost their jobs. 285 dinner tables have been affected in the central Alabama area, not to mention the logging trucks, not to mention the security, not to mention there's other tangible jobs that go along with that 285.
Right. Vendors that come out there. I mean, some of these vendors, we're their biggest client.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it hurts them. It hurts their monthly check. You know, it hurts their family. It hurts a lot of people. But that's when you, like you were saying, you just got to sit back and talk to the Lord.
Yeah.
He'll give you an answer. It may not be right away.
Right.
He'll give you one.
Oh, yeah. And he's gonna, man. This is, I know you're in a hard spot right now, and I'm not making light of it, but this is going to be really cool, Noah, to watch how God leads you through this. And my encouragement to you and anybody else that can hear my voice that's been through something different or something similar, just trust in the Lord. And like we said in Psalms 33:4, he is faithful in all. I underline that, all that he does. We may not understand it right now, but one day you will. And you're going to turn around and go, man, wow, I'm in a much better place than I ever dreamed possible.
And, you know, like I'll look back on this, you know, in 20, 30 years, and that was a cakewalk.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I remember going through mine in 2009 and going, oh, man, this is terrible. Like, how could it get any worse? And then, you know, you start going through life and, you know, I have this health diagnosis. I'm like, okay, all right. But that's when I realized, okay, life is a series of circumstances. Some of them are good, some of them are great, and some of them are horrible. But the easiest way to do it, or the right way to do it, I think, is just to trust in the Lord and go, man, I'm not going to get too high. I'm not going to get too low. I'm going to try to stay right here, stay even keeled, and trust the Lord because he's got it all worked out anyway. And I'm claiming that over you and Neely and Coulter. God's got you guys, and he is not going to let you go without. Okay? He's not. I promise you that. Just keep trusting in him with everything that you have.
I will.
Okay. Man, we're going to get to preaching here in a minute if we're not careful. Hey, Lee's hollering at me. We got to take a break. We're going to be back here in just a few minutes hanging out with Mr. Noah Davis on Sunday morning. Back on Sunday morning, I'm Shaw Gage hanging out with my good friend Noah Davis. Just, man, I'm so glad this has finally come together because we've been talking for a while about trying to come in here and do this and share your testimony and share your story. And then lo and behold, we have this left hook that we talked about in the last segment of Domtar closing their doors unexpectedly. I mean, you know, a year ago they were talking about expansion and now 1 year later, 285 people out of jobs. And Noah's number one. And I said this in an earlier segment. I don't know how we save the plant. It's an old plant. It's antiquated. It's hard to get parts for what parts you can find. So I understand economics, all that, but what I would like to do is have somebody, when I first started thinking about this, man, I want somebody from Domtar to come on. And the chances of that happening, I know, are small. But if anybody knows somebody at Domtar, this guy in Montreal or wherever he came down from and gave this bad news, man, hook us up. I'm not saying they're wrong. I'm not saying, I just want an explanation for the people in this community to go, and look, I've got a voice. It may not be a national voice. Maybe it is. I don't know, but somebody's going to hear this. But more important, that'll take care of itself. But more importantly, when I approach Noah to come in here and let's do this, come on, let's get this done, is, look, I do have a voice. And the station here has been just gracious to let me kind of have free reign to kind of do these kind of things. But man, I said, here's a young man that's a great guy. He's a firm believer in Jesus Christ. He's a hard worker, and he's just a good dude. And so, like, man, this is like a job fair. So, like, Noah, there's people out here listening that are looking for people like you. And, man, I just would encourage anybody that's looking for a great young guy. He's healthy, he's strong, he's funny, he's just got all these qualifications. Like, Noah, what... here you go. You're talking to an audience out there, and I mean, tell us what your background is, what you're comfortable with. I mean, what are you looking to do? Is there a certain field you're looking to go into or stay in? Or
so right now, you know, I'm in it's called stores, so it's kind of like shipping and receiving,
right?
And so everything that comes out to the mill comes to me and one other guy first, and we, you know, go through it, check it in, make sure it's all there. Get it out at the mill wherever it needs to go. We also send out all the parts when they have to be rebuilt or vice versa, or, you know, we go back and get bearings and, you know, everything that the mill uses, we take.
Yeah.
Me and one other guy.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's right.
So, I mean, I like that kind of work. I would like to stay in it. There's not many places around that have it.
Mm-hmm.
But before that, I was working in Birmingham in a pipe shop. So I was pipe fitting and welding in there.
Okay.
Taught myself how to weld in that shop and taught myself how to use various power tools. You know, never did any of that work before I went in there. I really enjoyed that. I love welding, fitting,
yeah,
and everything like that. So that was a good learning curve when I got into that, and I'd like to go back into it.
Okay.
So
yeah. Okay. And I've got contacts in that world too, and I'm looking, we're helping. And look, any of my friends and customers, anybody that listens to this, man, we've got a great guy here, and it's a double your money back guarantee with this guy. I mean, if I could hire somebody myself, I would hire Noah, just because he's such a fun guy and he's good at what he does. But warehouse management, logistics, I mean, and I'm not talking just a few items. You guys have tens to probably hundreds of thousands of parts in that whole plant, don't you?
We keep up, me and one guy keep up with 39,000 inventory products.
Really? Yeah. Wow. Man.
Inventory it every quarter.
Yep.
Keep up with it as best as we can.
Sure.
You know, we're not there all night. But, yeah, it's a lot.
Yeah, absolutely. And like, you know, you guys are in the Childersburg, Sylacauga area, mm-hmm. You know, be willing to come anywhere, you know, yeah, within reason. But if anybody's out there looking for help or looking for a guy that would be a great addition to their team, I mean, I'll give him my full endorsement. And, you know, I just think it'd be a great opportunity to hire this young man. And, you know, again, it was just one of those things the Lord laid on my heart. Like, how do we do this? And each and every week for over a year now, I've been coming in here and going, man, it's just about encouraging people, letting them know whatever they're going through, it's going to be all right. They're going to get through it. And Jesus loves you. And this is it, that's where it just connected with me. I was like, man, we're going to get Noah to be in here the first time and to be the first candidate from Domtar to come on here. And let's just promote you guys and let's just give you guys a voice and, you know, just see what we can do to help. Because, again, nobody's got this thing called life figured out. We're all struggling, whether you're 26 or 52 or 82 or somewhere in between. Everybody's got their thing. And so how can we come alongside each other, lift each other up, dust them off, and get them back in the game? Because that's the name of it, isn't it?
That's it. Yeah. That's it. I mean, what kind of world are we living in when we aren't helping everybody out?
Yeah.
Helping each other out.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
And I really appreciate the invite and coming on. I know we've tried for many months. Mm-hmm. It just hasn't, the stars haven't aligned, but.
Well, it's God's timing, right? We were talking about the, one of the earlier segments. It's not about my timing. It's not about your timing. It's about God's timing. And they just brought us together on today because somebody's hearing this voice right now and going, I need Noah Davis. So, Noah, if somebody's interested in talking to you, how can they get a hold of you?
You contact my phone number, text message, email.
What, give us your, let's just do it, man. What, if you're good with that, what's your phone number?
205-757-7649.
Look at that, man. You got a direct line to the employee of the year, future employee of the year, 10-time award-winning employee of the year for your company, Noah Davis. You got an email you want to share just in case?
Yeah, why not? It's noah.davis15@yahoo.com.
noah.davis15@yahoo.com. That's so easy I can remember it, okay? So if you're looking for somebody, you're looking for a good guy that's hungry, that wants to do a good job and just wants to be a part of a great team out there, Noah Davis is your man. He's an extremely intelligent young man. He's highly coachable. And I think that's what, you and I, when I met you, I think that was one of the first things I realized, like, man, and students and athletes, when I used to do that for a living, man, I always looked for those guys and gals that were coachable. And those are the ones that could make a difference. And you are a difference maker. I can tell you that right now. I know that, and I believe that. And, man, we're just going to watch and see what God does. I know it's hard, but, man, there's some excitement as an old guy watching a young guy like you because, yes, it's tough, but, man, God, he's just starting your platform in the grand scheme of things. And you're going to, again, turn back around in a few years and go, wow, man, look what happened. So reach out today, Noah Davis. Again, give us your phone number.
205-757-7649.
And his email is noah.davis15@yahoo.com. Don't wait. Look, Noah's looking for something. And you know, people may go, man, you're doing this. You're giving him a plug on the road. Yeah. That's what we do, man. We're iron sharpening iron, and we're trying to help a young man and his family out. And if anybody that can hear my voice, whether it's on the radio broadcast or on the podcast, whatever it may be, man, if you're looking for somebody, I promise you, you will not regret making a call to Mr. Noah Davis. Noah, thanks for being open to just look, this world is so crazy right now. Nobody wants to open up. Nobody wants to be vulnerable. Nobody wants to share their feelings because for whatever reason, I don't want to do that. But man, when you do that, man, God honors that. And I appreciate you having that heart.
Yes, sir. Well, thank you for allowing me the opportunity to come on and give me a chance to talk about it.
Yeah.
Don't get too much, but I like sharing my story.
Yeah. Awesome.
Because there might be somebody out there going through something similar, and yeah, I could be a gateway for them to get in the Word of Christ and get in the church or anything like that.
So. Yeah, right on, man. That's the spirit of the show. That's what we do. If one person, you know, I tell silly jokes and, you know, we laugh about some stuff, and but if one person hears a joke or one person hears a story, puts a smile on their face or inspires them in some way, shape, or form, it makes it all worth it. And I appreciate you being willing to share that and be vulnerable with people out there because that's hard to do, especially for a man your age. We want to all think want everybody to think we've got it all together. I don't have problems. Man, I got problems. You got problems. We all have problems. It's just fun being around people that are genuine, and I see that in you, and man, we're all going to be praying for you, and man, it's going to be fun to see what God does through this. Right on. Cool. Hey, we're going to take a break and come back one more segment with Mr. Noah Davis on Sunday morning. Welcome back in, everybody. Hey, Noah, we were talking earlier kind of in between segments, but one of my buzzwords years ago, right before I lost my job, was the word selfless. The Lord burned that word into my heart, and I didn't really understand why. But now, 20 whatever years later, I understand that selfless heart and that selfless spirit is what it's all about. And I came across these passages earlier out of the book of Matthew, chapter 20, verses 26 through 28. And this is basically to set it up here, but Jesus is talking to the disciples, and the disciples have just come out of a conversation with Jesus, and they're going, hey, yeah, when we get to heaven, I want to be in that seat right next to you, right? Well, what's in it for me, right? And I think we all today have that same selfish attitude and all that kind of stuff, and it's about not being selfish. It's about being selfless. It's about putting others first, and I see that in you. You do that. You do a great job with your wife, with your son, with your coworkers, and you're one of those people that gets that at an early age, but Jesus talks back to the disciples because he's saying, hey, look, the government officials, the Pharisees, that's what they do, right? They're all about the control. They're all about, you know, being selfish, and it's all about me and the appearances and the fancy prayers and all that. But Jesus says this to the disciples starting in verse 26. He says, not so with you, talking to the disciples. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. And I just, that was laid on my heart earlier this week, and I just wanted to give that charge out, not only to you, Noah, but also anybody that can hear my voice, and my, it's a good reminder for me as well. But, you know, it's easy in these tough situations. It's easy to go, man, I'm a victim. Man, why me? I get it. I've been there, you know, and I've been there on the health side of the cancer diagnosis too. But when you kind of get out of that, okay, the initial shock, and like I was talking earlier, when you get punched in the nose and your eyes are kind of watering, you're like kind of stunned, you know, when those eyes quit watering, you kind of get that clarity back. And you're like, okay, what's going on here? But once you get through there, well, the one thing I've realized that makes life a whole lot easier for me in these dark times or hard times or when mountains are in front of me is when I start focusing on other people and I start saying, okay, God, what are you trying to teach me and how can this impact the kingdom? And I know that happened when I lost my job. And I know that happened shortly after I received my cancer diagnosis near 13 and a half years ago. There was a few days or weeks of poor, why me? But then it turned into why me? Like, I don't understand why I went through those things, but now almost 14 years later, I had an opportunity to speak to some men. I think I mentioned this earlier in another segment, but I had an opportunity to go share with some, it was a company in Birmingham, and I had like 20 professionals sitting in a room with me, and they just wanted to hear my testimony. And I shared about the car accident where, you know, we were hit by a drunk driver and then finding the cancer and walking through all that. And, you know, I told those guys, I said, you know, for me, the first few weeks, it was poor me and why me? And all that attention was focused on me. And I get it, right? But then I was like, I can't do this anymore. Because if I become this victim, I can see how that would snowball. And then I'd be a victim for the rest of my life. So I said, no, God, we're not going to do that. I said, I'm going to find ways to honor you, to build the kingdom, and to serve others. And I let my students in on it. And we became the hands and feet of Jesus. And that's what we began to do. And it's easy to say, no, it's all about me and my cancer and I don't feel good. I mean, that's the human flesh one. I mean, yeah, I get it. But when I got over that and went, okay, God, how can you use this terrible thing in my life to inspire and impact other people? And God went, hang on, I'll show you how. And for the last 13 and a half years, look, I'm not saying it's been easy. I'm not saying it's a cakewalk and there weren't hard times, but man, there have been a lot of great times. And I shared with those guys, I said, look, what I went through during all that, the chemotherapy and the radiation and the stem cell transplant, you just don't feel good and the sickness. And I could talk about the bad stuff all day long. I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy. But the experience that I had, I would not trade it for anything. I would not go back and redo it any other way because I learned a whole lot about who God is, about who I am, and more importantly, who I'm not. And I'm not God. I'm not the creator of the universe. I'm just supposed to be a witness. You know, we've talked about that on here before. It's like a courtroom setting. I'm not the judge. I'm not the jury. I'm just supposed to be the witness. So my charge to you, and I'd be interested to hear your thoughts on this, but man, you just go and be that witness and you just try to focus on, man, how can you serve God through this situation? And I think if you do that, man, he's going to blow your doors off in a good way.
Yeah, I agree. That's like what we were talking about earlier with my dad passing away.
Mm.
I could have very easily chose to snowball, go roll down that cliff.
And nobody would have blamed you, right?
I could have just stayed and like, poor me, my dad's passed away. And I know your dad passing away, it's terrible, you know, but again, I could have acted just how he did. You know, I could have became a bad alcoholic like he was, or a very abusive person. You know, I could have very easily done that, but like I said earlier, I had a choice.
Mm.
You know, God came to me and, you know, you never really realize, you know, a lot of people go through things, you know, like you and your cancer treatment, getting hit by a drunk driver, losing your job. But it's how you take it.
Mm.
You know, you can be a victim your whole life if you want, you know, or you can pretty much get tired of it, stand up and like, yeah, this sucks right now.
Mm-hmm.
But if I have faith, it'll get better.
Oh, yeah.
It's not going to be a golden path. It's going to have some rocks on it.
Sure.
It's going to get rocky,
yeah,
no matter what. But faith is the strongest thing I think a person can have.
Mm.
And if you have that, you'll get through it, I promise.
Oh, yeah.
Just keep talking to him and looking at him, looking at the word. We were talking in a Bible small group the other day. We're in Acts right now. I think it was either Acts 14 or 15. They were going Barnabas and what's his, John, I think?
Paul.
Thank you. I'm sorry.
All good. I'm terrible with names. I'm in sales, and I'm terrible with names. So go ahead.
Well, they were going from city to city, teaching the word to Gentiles and everything. And they decided to stone them. I mean, literally throwing rocks at them until they thought they were dead.
Yeah.
I mean, how that would suck, getting thrown,
that would be terrible,
rocks thrown at you until you die.
Oh.
But they got up and they went to the city over and kept spreading that word of gospel.
Mm.
And that kind of stuck out to me the other day. It's like, that's what faith is all about.
Oh, yeah.
You can get hit with anything that life gives you, but the faith will keep you going.
Yeah. Oh, you know? Totally. And as believers, that's what I think we have. And I've said this before, but like people that don't have faith in the Lord, like I get it. Like if, you know, when they get that diagnosis or they get that news that the plan's closing, that hopelessness that I'm drowning and I don't know how I'm going to get out of this, because you don't have that backbone. You don't have the Lord going, I got you, you know? And so, look, people that don't know the Lord, I understand why they're going through, and you're seeing the mortality rates, and you're seeing the substance abuse, and you're seeing the physical abuse, and you're seeing, because people are going to act out, because there's got to be an outlet somewhere for them to cope. I won't get too deep in psychology because I'm not qualified, but I know enough to know that that's your brain. You got to act it out somehow. And mm-hmm. So people that are going through those things, I don't think they do it intentionally. I think it's just, man, they don't have that faith in the Lord, and they don't know where to go, what to do. But you've got that.
Yeah, I just think, you know, I think people that are like that, they're lost on a road.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way I kind of try to look at it, is they're lost. They just haven't found the gate yet.
Right.
To get to the other road.
Yeah. I like that.
And that's why these shows, I like these type of shows, is, you know, they might be flipping through the radio one day.
Mm-hmm.
Hear this, and then it could click out. I'm going to go to church this Sunday.
Right. If just one, right? Yeah, we're talking about that. One. Just one person hears it. Yeah. It makes it all worth it for sure. Well, that's, man, again, I appreciate you coming on and being willing to be transparent and just open your heart and, Lord, just, I mean, just share us what the Lord's been doing in your life. And, man, I know he's continue to work in your life and Neely's life and little man Coulter. And, man, y'all are just a precious family. And it's been so fun to get to know you guys. And, man, he's not done with you. He's got a lot of things in store for you, and it's going to be fun to watch. And one thing I'd encourage you and also anybody that's hearing this, when you're going through stuff, I did a terrible job of this when I was younger. I did some of it when I was going through my stuff, but man, journal this, write it down, right? Like, because man, when I find, and again, I'm not a consistent writer, I'll say it like that. But when I go back and find like old journals or old Bible daily devotionals that I wrote in the book or whatever, and I go back and read like when I was 20, 23, 24 years old, and I go, what? Like, really? I was worried about what? You know, but I mean, but we are where we are in life. And so 30 years ago, my mountain now looks like an anthill, you know, but 30 years ago, that was like, could have been catastrophic. So you just are where you are, but man, God will meet you wherever you are. You just got to say yes and just tell him, hey, I need help. And man, you've done a good job of that. I know based on what we've talked about, and anybody out there that can hear my voice, if you're struggling, if you're going through something, just go, God, I'm tired. I don't know what to do, and I need your help. And he'll answer that, won't he?
He will.
Yeah, absolutely.
100%.
Absolutely. Well, hey, we're going to take a break real quick. We're going over just a little bit, but that's okay because Noah Davis is in the house, and we'll work it out somehow on the other side with commercials and breaks. But we're going to take a break. We're going to come back and wrap it up in just a few minutes with Mr. Noah Davis on Sunday Morning. Welcome back in on Sunday Morning. Been hanging out with Noah Davis. Still with Domtar down here in Childersburg, Alabama. It's a plant, if you haven't heard any of the other parts of the show, it's a pulp mill that is closing their doors here in about 3 weeks. And we have 285 individuals that are out of work, and that's not fun. I've been there, done that, got the T-shirt two or three times, but man, God is good, and God is bigger than all of it. And just appreciate you, Noah, coming in and sharing your heart this morning.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me. I mean, it's been a real pleasure getting to tell my story and about my job and everything like that. So,
well, and you're giving other people courage, and you know, people that have been through a job loss, it's not fun. And certainly we talked earlier in one of the segments about, you know, the pride takes a hit and the, you know, but you know what, don't focus on the circumstances. If I could encourage you again, just focus on the Lord, and he's going to take care of it. He's going to bless this opportunity. You know, years ago when I taught school, I had a headmaster, and I would go to him, man, I got this problem. Man, I got this problem. Finally, he stopped me after about three of those conversations. He goes, Gage, they're not problems. I said, well, what do you call them? He said, they're opportunities. I said, what do you mean? He goes, they're opportunities to get better, opportunities to improve. And I went, ooh, I kind of like that. And so that's what I've been saying ever since is, you know, hey, it's just an opportunity. And kind of funny here, but as a school teacher, one thing I always wanted to teach, math. I never did, but one thing we would always joke with the math teachers in the school was, you know, growing up, math teachers, every math teacher, and no offense to math teachers out there, but every math teacher that Shaw had growing up seemed to be kind of angry. And we joked about that. And I'd ask the listeners out there, think about your math teachers in junior high and high school. And most of the time, they were kind of the more serious or the more tense or angry or whatever you want to call it. And it finally dawned on me, you know why they're always so angry? Because all they work on is problems, math problems. Go home and do problems 5 through 28 tonight. Yeah. No, so what do you do? Do you call those math opportunities? I don't know. But anyway, just kind of a funny there. But man, just start looking at it. You've got a positive outlook on life, and you are wise beyond your years. I can tell you that just based on us hanging out and talking today. But man, don't look at them as problems. Look at them as opportunities. And when you have the Lord on your side, man, they are opportunities. And it may not be an opportunity for you, but it may be an opportunity for somebody that you're supposed to impact. Or it may be an opportunity for your family. And right. Watch how husband or watch how dad goes through this. And man, I'm telling you, I'm watching because you're a good friend, man. And I think we watch each other just to kind of see how people navigate life. And yeah, I may be twice as old as you, but man, I look at you as, you know, I still think I'm 26, you know, in my brain. But when I step out of bed in the morning, I'm reminded pretty quick I'm not. But I think that's, I see a lot of that in you, that you're a positive guy. And hearing your story about your dad, and by the way, I'm sorry, that stinks. And man, that's just, that's tough. But it seems like you've got a pretty good grasp on the big picture and what it's really all about. And that's about being the hands and feet of Jesus and letting everybody else know it's going to be okay.
Yep. That's what it's all about. Everybody's going to go through things, but it's just how you look at the end of the tunnel.
Mm.
See the light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah. I had a lady tell me, Mary Glenn Peoples, a friend of my parents, she and her husband Sam used to say this. They say, the circumstances of life don't make or break you. It just reveals what's in your heart. And that's fancy sounding, but I broke it down and I changed it over the years, and I would just make it a little more simple, and I would go, life's not about what happens to you. It's about how you respond to what happens to you.
Mm-hmm.
Noah, that's all you control. That's all I control. I can't do anything about what Noah says or does to me or my coworkers or my customers or my family. There's nothing I can do. Only thing I control is my reaction. And if I'm, you know, not prayed up, if I'm not read up in the Word, if I'm not going to church, surrounding myself with fellow believers, man, that thing gets vile. Man, that heart can get, you know, kind of ugly and in a hurry, because if you don't focus on Jesus and that, you know, like we were talking about earlier, being selfless, if we don't focus on that, about being a servant rather than being served, then, man, we don't get our way. That toxicity is going to come out. Is that even a word, toxicity? I think it is. But anyway, that's going to come out. And that venom and that bad attitude, then people are going to look at me and go, he's a Christian? I don't want to be around that. But when we're prayed up and we're read up in the Word and we're surrounding ourselves with other believers, man, we're going to be more positive. We're going to have that opportunity to go, hey, let me tell you what, yeah, this is tough. This was hard, but God's got you, you know? And, you just keep doing that and trusting in him with everything that you have and leading your family. And there's no doubt, man, God's going to put you in a great spot. And, man, again, I just appreciate you coming in and sharing your heart.
Well, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem, man. No problem. Anything I can do to help. And we're going to be praying for you and Neely and Coulter. And just, man, it's going to be interesting and fun to watch how God works through these next weeks and months and years. And, man, it's going to be a phenomenal experience. I promise you. Again, how can they get a hold of you? Noah Davis, again, 10-time and future Employee of the Year award winner. How can they get a hold of Mr. Noah Davis?
You can text or call or email me. My number is 205-757-7649. And my email is noah.davis15@yahoo.com.
Man, doesn't get any easier than that. If you're looking for somebody good, trust me, it's worth a conversation. Call Noah, email him, and he'll respond pretty quick, I'm sure. But Noah, we're going to be praying for you guys. We're going to be praying for everybody out that plant. And we're going to keep logging this stuff, and we're going to keep trying to get Domtar in here to come have a conversation with us. And, you know, they may not change their mind, but at least we can hear what's going on the other side. And again, if one person hears this and is impacted in a good way for the kingdom, then, you know, it makes what we're doing worth it, doesn't it?
Yes, sir.
Cool. Right on. Well, hey, listen, if you're going through stuff out there, if you're going through something similar, if you're a Domtar employee or you've been through a health diagnosis or whatever it may be, I just want to encourage you. Noah and I have been talking about this through the last really couple of years that we've been knowing each other. It's, man, God's got you. All you got to do is trust him. All you got to do is say, yes, Lord, I'm in. Please help me. And remember, you don't have to be a fancy preacher to pray. All you got to do is just a conversation like Noah and I've been having this morning. It's just, God, I need help. He already knows. He already knows your struggles, your concerns, your worries. But he says, cast those cares upon me and let him worry about that stuff. Because you know what? I can sit here and focus on all my problems, as we were talking about earlier, or I can focus on God and go, God, you got that. And I'm just going to go tell people about Jesus. And he will honor that, won't he?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Cool.
Oh, yeah.
Well, hey, listen, if you can hear my voice out there and you're struggling, just hang in there. Just spend some time in the Word and stay prayed up. Reach out to somebody if you need some help. And if you're in a good spot, man, go bless somebody, because there's a lot of hurting people out in this world. There's a lot of people searching and looking for answers. And just go out there and be the hands and feet of Jesus wherever you can, and go impact somebody today, because at the end of the day, that's all we got, right?
Yes, sir. That's it.
Right on. Hey, enjoyed you guys being a part of it. Noah, thanks again for coming in this morning, and we're going to have you back here in a few weeks, and we're going to see. We're going to keep checking in with you, seeing how everything's going, but we appreciate your time this morning, and thanks again for coming in.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me.
You got it, boss. Hey, thanks for being a part of the show. Have a great week, everybody, and we'll be back here next Sunday.